Well, what a cheery gospel to come to church with. I know we've got some visitors today, and what a way to greet them with this kind of message. Yes, doom and gloom seems to be the order of the day. And there's actually a lot of good things in the way that this gospel is arranged and where it's placed. And let me just reflect on a story recently, which will come back into this gospel. Trust me on this one. I was sitting down with a minister and the president of a church recently, a few weeks ago, and talking about the challenges that they're going through. And the council president had one vision, one passion about what their goal was and what they would like to see. And the minister had a goal and vision of what they would like to see. And the grief and the pain that was caused by them not having the same goal and vision. And what the truth was is that neither one of them saw where God was working around them. That there was a third option there. I think Izzy told me a story about three options, and this is kind of part of that, kind of three options into this. Well, this gospel kind of has certain options to it. We can talk about the prophet vision of this, the vision of things in a disparate time, in a disparate place, in the world crumbling around them. And we also have to look at it from the time of what the people are looking at this from. So those who don't know me, I subscribe to the gospel as a catechumenate from the ancient church. And the beauty of the Gospels as a catechumenate from the early church, and it is the why we do the Gospels in 3 years, is that Matthew is designed to help us find God after the temple has been destroyed. Mark is about how to live with pain and difficulties. And Luke is how to live in community and service. And John is about how to live in joy, which is probably one of the toughest of the spiritual gifts to receive, because so many of us don't think we're worthy of joy or should have joy. And that's why John sort of gets sprinkled in over the 3 years of the Gospels as we go through the lectionary. So this doom and gloom that we kind of see in this gospel today actually has a gift in it. A gift that is sometimes hard to see, but if we look into the catechumenate and what that means, it's got a very strong gift. I mean, it is about community, and it is about living in service. And to those who are reading this gospel for the first time back then already knew that the temple had been destroyed. So the witness that this gospel gives must be true and accurate. Remember, for the Mediterranean people of the time, they live very much in the present. And so prophets are sharing something that unless they've traveled that time, they do not always understand. But for those people of Luke, they do, because they know that the temple fell. And now they're trying to build community. Now they're trying to live as community and in service. But there seems to be danger ahead on it. Many of us feel that way today with all the challenges and problems going on. And because we live in a world where media is instantaneous, You know, it was kind of nice when we still only had the telegraph and it took things a while to get from Europe to America. We kind of long for those days. I don't know about you, but, you know, I remember my uncle used to have courier pigeons, racing pigeons, you know, see how long it took to get from one place to another. You know, I kind of yearn for those days where I don't need an instantaneous update about what's falling apart in the world. And this lesson is at the end of our church year. It's coming in right before we celebrate Advent and we begin anew. And it doesn't seem like we're ending on a very cheerful note. We got a lot of baggage and a lot of pain and a lot of issues on it. It's very reflective of Luke's gospel today. But in the ancient church, this takes us right into Matthew, where we refind and reclaim God. We know the temple's destroyed, and now we're about to climb the mountains, right? Go up to those Beatitudes up there. And we look at those as personal things of what we want to accomplish, reconnecting with God. But the ancient church, because they placed Matthew behind Luke, year A, they didn't make Mark year A. They didn't make John year A. They ended with this destruction of what often happens in communities when people have different visions and different goals and different wants, and they fail to see that God has a different plan. And so our step then is into Matthew. Again, this is about the catechumenate. We're about to rediscover and how to reconnect with God. And so what the catechumen, the early church, is trying to convey here is that it's just not my journey that's about to go climb a mountain. It's our journey. It's all of us together. We are all in this together. We're all looking at the destruction around us together. And in order to rebuild, we need each other. You're part of us. That we don't do this pilgrimage alone. We don't wander into the wilderness alone. We do it in community. And that sometimes that's hard to do. Because we all have our own visions. Like the council president and the minister with their different visions, it was hard to see where God was at work. But you have to sort of lean into it and be there. And so that is the beauty of where this is taking us. We are about to give thanks for all those in our lives who've helped us get through the last year, how we got through the challenges, how we got through difficult times. And it's important to give thanks, but we can't go forward unless we have the gratitude that each of us bring and share. That is what's important. That is the gift that's being given. Yes, it's difficult times. I am a child of immigrants. And I could do a couple of hours here about how difficult my grandparents had it coming to America with my great-grandparents with 15 of their kids on a freighter for 60 days and how they had to sell all their possessions and what they were promised they didn't have. the thing, the world, this great promise didn't look too much like a promise when they got here on it. But they had gratitude for the people around them. They had community, people who understood where they'd been and what they've gone through and what their hopes were. That was the gift. And they created strong bonds and created strong families and accomplished things that no one thought that they could accomplish. We can dwell in the walls that have crumbled, or we can take it and create community with it. We often forget, as churches, just how small we are. The average Sunday attendance in the Episcopal Church is 60. And yet, it's a pretty amazing church. Because somewhere in Greenwich, someone lights the first altar candles. And for the next 24 hours at 10 o'clock, it seems that's the time, until somewhere around New Zealand, someone puts out the last candles. And for 24 hours, we have been a church in prayer. People kneeling at the altar, people hearing the gospel. We are more than just 60 people. We are a worldwide community. But we have to step back and get the bigger picture and the bigger view. So this lesson at the end of the church year, where it looks pretty dismal, is about seeing where we've come from, but also about where we're about to go. And we can't go unless we're all going together. We're all living into that gratitude together and building community together. I have a favorite quote, and it's not very Christian, but I think it's very Christian. It's a quote from Benjamin Huff's Tea of Piglet. If you're not familiar with it, it's Benjamin Huff writes about Taoism in the form of Winnie the Pooh. And I think it's safe to say that this is where Christianity and Taoism can nod to each other and say, we agree. And the quote is this. Piglet came into the room sniffling. Rabbit, who was busy writing, asked Piglet why he was crying. And Piglet said, I'm crying because I'm a small animal. Rabbit put down his pen and turned to Piglet and said, Piglet, it is because you are a small animal that you will be useful in the adventure ahead. Whether we're small churches or big churches, we are the church. And we have a gift. There's nothing too small or too unimportant. And so as we kind of give gratitude for the past, as we will gather soon in our homes and with friends, we will also turn together into a new church year with gratitude and new adventures as community, trying to see where God is calling us and the larger vision. Not just our vision or the vision we want, but the vision that God may have in store for us. And I think I'll let it rest at that.